My dear brothers and sisters in Jesus and in our Blessed Mother, if not once, at least 10 times this week, I've said to myself, it is hard. It is hard because I'm tired. I feel overworked. I feel I have no time to keep in touch with friends. I put myself on Facebook and so many friends back from India who I was went to school with are trying to get in touch with me. I have no time. I sit for prayer and instead of being able to focus, I'm thinking of what's the day ahead. Somehow feeling that I'm losing touch with myself. Between masses and baptisms and funerals and wedding rehearsals and weddings and hospital visits and anointing the sick and spiritual direction, for between all this, there is a sense that I'm losing touch with what's inside. And then I talk to people. That's how everyone feels. Sometimes, although there's a day or a week where it just hits you, right? You suddenly feel, gosh, it is so hard. Some disciples of Jesus came on that day to Jesus and said, this saying is hard. Who can accept it? And let me put it in context. Remember, we are still reading from the Bread of Life discourse, which began 5 Sundays back, and it began with the multiplication of the loaves. There was free food. All the people kept pursuing Jesus, saying, well, what sign can you work for us? And Jesus then said, it's not about the bread that you ate that day, it's about the bread of life. And then Jesus adds controversy to this whole conversation because he calls himself the bread of life. Then he makes it even more complicated when he tells his disciples that this bread of life is his own flesh. And people ask, well, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? And then Jesus, in last week's gospel, he said to the people, listen, my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. And unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. And the people say to him, this is hard. And some of them decide to leave Jesus. And Jesus sees it and he comes to the disciples and he says to them, will you also go away? And the response to that question, will you also go away, is one of the most profound and one of the yet the most powerful expressions of faith. And thank God it is recorded in the scripture because it is meant for people like you and me who feel it is so hard. And this gospel is telling us for those that those who have faith do not quit when it is hard. That those who have faith say the most meaningful thing when it is the toughest. And the most meaningful thing to say is, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And I have come to believe that you are the Holy One of God. And so all of last week, I made it a point in the morning to be in the presence of God because I'm feeling it is hard, I'm feeling it is difficult, but if I can come to the Lord like Peter and say, to whom shall I go? I want to make Peter's response our own. In other words, today, what does it mean for us to say to Jesus, Lord, to whom shall we go? And I want to do that bringing out three areas where we can say that, Lord, to whom shall we go? First, as a parish community. Second, as a family, because both of these, community and family, they come from our first reading and second reading today. And of course, there's a third dimension that I'll talk about later. But first, as a parish community. And I take the clue from today's first reading. Joshua, who has taken over from Moses as the people of Israel cross from Egypt into the promised land, he gathers all the people, the 12 tribes of Israel. He gathers them, and perhaps there were thousands of people that day. And he asks them this question. He said, if you want to leave the Lord, please do. Do it now. Because Joshua wants to build a nation, a community focused around the covenant. So those of you who are willing to leave, leave. Those of you who are willing to stay, stay. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. And people say, far be it from us to leave the Lord. And I'm thinking, it's not just about this one-on-one personal commitment that we've got to make, but also as a parish community, we've got to figure out who we are and what we are saying by saying, Lord, to whom shall we go? So what does it mean for Immaculate Conception Parish to say, Lord, to whom shall we go? Now, I don't know the answer to the question. We're trying to figure that out. And that's why on September 12th, we have this parish retreat. All the ministry leaders, every person who is doing any ministry in this parish, singing, Eucharistic minister, lector, you've all got your letters. But I also have this invitation to extend to every parishioner. Listen, together, we've got to figure out what does it mean to be radical disciples of Jesus who say, Lord, we have come to believe that you are the Holy One of God. That we can say together like the community that said in front of Joshua, we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. Not as one thing we do on a Sunday evening, but something we do as part of our community and life together. So everyone, mark your calendars. September 12th, from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Babysitting is provided. Lunch is provided. Just RSVP us and let us know. This parish needs together be conscious of its being called to be like Peter, to be like the people who committed themselves to Joshua that day. First point. Second point comes from the second reading. What does St. Paul say in today's second reading? He says, live in love. Husbands and wives, love each other as Christ loved the church. And we look at one look at the crucifix and say, how did Christ love the church? Like that. Till the end, that love is holy, that love is sacred, that love is forever, that love is eternal, that love is unconditional. Husbands and wives, love each other as Christ loved the church. In other words, if we are saying today to the Lord, to whom shall we go? Then we are saying as couples, as husbands and wives, as parents and children, that together as a family, we are going to love each other as Christ loved the church. That is the meaning of saying, Lord, to whom shall we go? And we know this world, our church, needs holy families, needs faithful families, needs families that will bear witness to that love of Christ. So this week, then, it is a good question for us to take back to our families. And we may not be the most holy people, we may not be the most united people, but this question is right there. What does it mean for my family to say, Master, to whom shall we go? Now, typically, I would say the third point of this is that I must decide also as an individual. Apart from my husband, friends, parents, children, I must decide as an individual. What does it mean to say, Lord, to whom shall we go? But I'm going to suspend that. And if you want to read that, go to etmissas.org. I have a little other way in which this community can reach out to people that we do not normally think about. And that is the prisoners. And we have somebody in the midst of us who does ministry with the people in prison. And we are going to let the love of Christ flow to this community. And I'm going to invite Rob Gorman to please come forward and tell us what we can do as to let the love of Christ flow into the lives of people.
Good evening, brothers and sisters in Christ. My name is Rob Gorman, and I would like to first thank you, Father Satish, and you, the parishioners of the Immaculate Conception Church here in Dayton, for giving me a few minutes of your time. For the past 13 years, I've been involved in a Christian prison ministry called Kairos, which means God's special time in the prison. Kairos is modeled after the Catholic Crucio Renewal Weekend, which some of you may already be familiar with. Next month, I will be joining close to 60 other volunteers for Kairos number 39 at Lebanon Correctional Institution in Warren County. Under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we will be bringing Christ's love to 42 inmates who will be making the 3.5-day-long program. And you too can participate in this mission in one of three ways. First, by baking cookies. Each team member is asked to bring at least 200 dozen home-baked cookies to the weekend. That's a total of 12,000 dozen cookies. 2,700 inmates, including the correctional officers and all other employees of the institution, will receive a bag of 2 dozen home-baked cookies. The cookies are an outward sign of God's love flowing into the institution. Before you begin baking the cookies, I would ask you to pray for the prisoner who will eat the cookies. There is also a definite format that you will need to follow. I am furnishing several 1-gallon plastic Ziploc bags with guidelines enclosed that says Kairos 2 dozen on it for baking the cookies. The Ziploc bags are located on a table in the vestibule at the main entrance of the church. The second way that you can participate is through prayer. Both inmates and Kairos volunteers need your prayers. Please consider reserving 1 hour out of your day for prayer by signing up for the 24-hour Kairos prayer vigil. The sign-up sheets are also located on the table in the vestibule at the main entrance. They're in 1 hour slots. And finally, the third way is by writing letters. You may want to write a short letter of encouragement to one or more of the 42 inmates making the Kairos weekend. Many of these men never receive mail. Simply address it, Dear Brother in Christ, and sign it with your first name only. The envelopes must remain blank and unsealed for security purposes. Should you have any questions, I am providing information with basic guidelines along with my name and phone number in the back of the church, and they will be all included as well as me after church. I'll be back there to answer any other questions. Sunny Lane from the rectory, and is also in social justices, is helping me with this, and you can call the rectory, which the cookies will be dropped off at. I would like to have the prayers, cookies, and letters by September 6th, if possible, but by no later than September 16th. All cookies and letters may be dropped off at the church rectory during that time. Thank you, and God bless.
Master, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and I'm saying three ways in which we can make that faith profession ours: parish community, as a family, and letting our love flow to those we normally don't think about. The same Jesus who came to Peter will come to us in a few moments in the Eucharist. Of course, he's not going to ask us, are you also going to leave, because we are here because of Jesus. But if it is hard and tough, let us come to Jesus and say, we have come to believe that you are the Holy One of God. And the people of God said, Amen.